Our gospel lesson today is from Mark 9, verses 30 to 37. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. Jesus and the disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands. They will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But the disciples did not understand what he was saying. They were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" They were silent, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not just me, but the one who sent me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and minds to your presence and your word. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're not so different from the disciples, right? We're pretty addicted to ourselves. We're addicted to competition, to trying to be first, to trying to be number one, trying to be great. Much of what we see in the media is just about that. It's about that striving for individual significance. All you have to do is turn on a TV or get on the web, and you'll see all kinds of people who are trying to be rich, famous, powerful, number one. In fact, we make lists of these people. There's the Time Person of the Year, People Magazine's Sexiest Man, Forbes Richest People in America, the Celebrity 100, Business Insider has an A list of the 20 most powerful people, ESPN has the World Fame 100. And if you surf Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, you'll see lots of people trying to make a name for themselves, people just like us. Sometimes it is us. Now, maybe you don't want to be rich and famous, but have you ever wanted to do everything just right? To do it right. Isn't that a kind of greatness that we sometimes seek? I know I've struggled with perfectionism all my life. As I grew up, I wanted to prove myself by making straight A's and being involved in lots of extracurricular activities. That's how I found my significance, by making good grades, by doing well in music and drama and band. I got my way paid through college and seminary doing that. It seemed good. But Jesus says that seeking our own success is setting our minds on earthly things, not divine things. Last week we heard Jesus say we should deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, which sounds crazy, because who wants to be a follower? Who wants to deny themselves? Who wants to take up a cross of suffering and sacrifice? But that is his call for us. This week, that conversation continues with Jesus. Like last week, the same thing happens this time. Jesus tells his disciples for the second time that he is going to suffer and die. And then he tells them the first must be last. Jesus' words are so unexpected, even for his disciples, who have heard this before. But they thought they were following a Messiah of power and prestige and prominence because he's the Son of God. But as Jesus tells them that his power will be revealed in suffering and sacrifice and service, they're arguing about who's the greatest among them. As he is modeling service and humility and sacrifice, they're talking about who's the best disciple. But it's interesting. Jesus doesn't scold them for their conversation, which he already knew, but he asks them anyway. Instead, he uses it as this teaching moment. He says, look, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Last. Servanthood. Strange words. Because our world is built upon the opposite. Trying to be best, great, powerful, not last, not servant. The world says, be the best, be a leader, do whatever you need to be on top, join the right clubs, be seen with the right people, drive the right car, oh, and have a scapegoat in case you make a mistake so you can still be on top. How do we avoid living like the world during the week and just being different on Sunday? How do we embrace Jesus' call to be last, to be servants? Well, what if we also take it down to the basics just like we did with the kids? Joy. What if that really is the proper priorities for all of us? J-O-Y. To live in that order. Jesus, others, yourself. And what if we find our real significance and our fulfillment and our joy by living that way? What does it mean to put Jesus first? Putting Jesus first is when we really learn about servanthood, because this is the Jesus who washed his own disciples' feet. This is the Jesus who went to death on a cross, all out of love and sacrifice for us. Philippians 2 talks about this, following Jesus first. Paul says there, make my joy complete, being of the same mind, the same love. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard that equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. And he took the form of a slave, and he humbled himself even to death on a cross. Jesus is the ultimate example of how to be a person who puts God first, then others, then self. Jesus teaches us about that second letter of joy, the O, that stands for the others. Now, when we put others first, it's not just about putting anyone before yourself or never thinking of yourself. It's about putting especially the least and the little ones before yourself. That's an important distinction, because sometimes these words have wrongly been used to advocate never standing up for yourself, never caring for yourself, always doing for others to the detriment of yourself. But Jesus wants us to care for ourselves by looking to him and the least of these. That's where we find ourselves. That's where we find true joy, by looking out for the least and the little. Jesus has a special heart for the least and the little. That's why after Jesus told them that they must be last and servants, he took the child and said, whoever welcomes this child welcomes me. Now, was he just reminding us that children are the future of the church, or that we should have innocence like children? I think he was telling us exactly how to welcome the least and the little. Because just like I told the kids, in Jesus' day, children were non-persons. They were not the way we see them today. Today we value children, even before they're born. In his time, children were not people. They were property, useful for the work they could do for their family. They were not to be seen or heard. For Jesus to say, welcome a child and you'll welcome me, was crazy. And he's saying it to the disciples who have already turned children away from Jesus because they're a nuisance. Why does the Messiah, the Son of God, say to welcome a child like him? Well, what if he's trying to get us to reimagine greatness? Jesus is telling us that God cares about the least and the little, and God always cares about that. Jesus says that the widow's two small coins were worth more than all the riches being put into the treasury in Luke 12. Jesus says that the one lost sheep is more important than the 99 who stay put. Jesus said that the wayward prodigal son should be welcomed home with hugging, running, kissing, and a great big party. Jesus reminds us that God cares about even the little sparrow, about the repentant sinner, about the sick, the lepers, the demon-possessed, the outcasts, the women, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, and even the children. God cares about others, especially the least and the little. Jesus demonstrates this in his own life by coming into the world as a little one, a baby born in a manger. What's so hard is that we are almost hardwired to want power and success and greatness and being first. We want people to serve us, not for us to serve everyone else. And we want this for our kids and our families and our churches so much of the time. In Matthew 20, the mother of James and John, she comes to Jesus and she says, "Jesus, promise me that my two sons can sit on your right and left in glory." And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking." And she says, "Yes, I do." And they say, "Yes, we do." And he says, "Are you able to drink the cup I am about to drink?" They said, "Yes, we're able." And he said, "You will indeed drink the cup. But to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant. That's prepared by the Father." And when the 10 other disciples heard this mom in this conversation, they became angry. So Jesus called them and said, "The rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants. It will not be so among you." He said, "Whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first must be the slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life." Jesus shows us the way of greatness and servanthood and sacrifice by putting others first. I was reading a great message by a pastor, Dan Meyer, this week about this concept of putting others first, and he wrote a sermon called Looking Otherward. He says that Jesus wants us to be otherward people. And I think he's really on to something, not just for our own lives, but as a church. Otherward people, he said, have a few key characteristics, and the first one is that they are outgoing. But this is not about being an extrovert. To be outgoing, he says, is someone who wants to build relationship. The second thing he says about otherward people is that they are treasure seekers, as in they look for the treasure in others. They look for the good in others, which is so important for all of us who serve in ministry, because we shouldn't do everything ourselves. When we do that, we're keeping other people from using their God-given gifts. If I'm doing my job right as your pastor, I'm not doing everything. I'm encouraging and empowering you to use your treasures, your gifts in service and ministry. The next characteristic of an otherward person is being hospitable. That one's pretty easy to understand. Are we welcoming? Do we open our arms and the doors of our church for all people, especially the least and the little? The next trait is empathy. Now, empathy is lacking in our world today, but Jesus always models it for us. He meets people right where they are in their pain. The Bible says again and again that he has compassion for them. Empathy is not pity. It is not feeling sorry for someone else. It's being with them in their suffering, standing alongside them, stepping into their shoes. That's empathy. He tells a story about a child who was late coming home for dinner, and the dad asked, "Where have you been?" And she said, "Well, this other kid dropped a jug of milk on the way home from the store." And the dad said, "So you stayed to help him clean it up?" And she said, "No, I stayed to help him cry till he got the courage to go home and tell his dad." That's empathy. The next trait is resourcefulness, and by this, Meyer means that we connect people to the resources that they need, which is especially important as we reach out to the least of these and the little. Finally, otherward people are self-sacrificing. We all know what that means. That's following Jesus, when we sacrifice what we want for what God wants. All of this does not come naturally. A servant's heart is not what we're born with. It's only possible to become this way if we allow the Holy Spirit to work on us, if we realize that we're all under construction, but we're going to allow God to show us how to live this way. J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. The question is, will we allow Holy Spirit to teach us that way? That final part of joy, I haven't left it out. It's important. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was to love God and your neighbor as yourself. So we must love ourselves, which comes from knowing how much God loves us. But paradoxically, I think we often learn about loving ourselves through serving and loving others. It's kind of like how it is more of a blessing to give than to receive. I think that often when we reach out to Jesus and others, we find true joy and we find ourselves. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. Any who want to follow our Lord Jesus have to be last and servant of all. And we are called to welcome the least, the little, and in doing so, we find our joy. May God give us the courage to live this way. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with